Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. It is Tuesday, December the 26th, the day after Christmas, and hopefully everyone yesterday got to spend an enjoyable holiday with family and friends, and maybe even Santa Claus left you a few items under the tree that are Miami related. In terms to our fins, maybe some new hats, some new shirts, some new sweatshirts, maybe an autograph. So if you did receive something, that is great. And there's actually a lot of news now taking place regarding the Miami Dolphins as we move into this Week 17 game. So we will get right to it. But before I start, I would like to give a big shout out and welcome to any new listeners we have who have found our site and our podcast through the Fin Fanatics website. The great people over at Fin Fanatics are now going to be airing our podcast each day. So if you have just found our show and found our podcast, welcome. We hope you enjoy it. We do this show pretty much close to 4 to 5 days a week most weeks. In the off season, not quite as much, but we do 4 to 5 days a week. We have interviews with players and media types, and we just talk all things Miami Dolphins all the time. So if you have just found our show, welcome, and hope you enjoy it. Let's get into the Miami Dolphins. The big story that broke early yesterday was that this week's game, as I told you on last week's show, the NFL did warn the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills that their Week 17 game might be flexed to a later time slot, and it was. It did happen. Now, when I reported that, as I did have some sources inside the league office who gave me a heads up on that it would probably be happening, we thought the game would be going to Sunday night and be playing at 8:25, whenever that game starts, on this upcoming Sunday, New Year's Eve, that the Miami game would move to Sunday night. But then the league changed plans a little bit, and they actually canceled Sunday Night Football. For those of you who haven't heard and have maybe been tied up with the holiday, this upcoming Sunday, there will be no Sunday Night Football. The NFL has canceled Sunday Night Football. So the Miami Dolphins game was still flexed and still moved. It was just moved to 4:25. So Week 17, Miami against the Bills. The game was supposed to be played at 1 p.m. It has been moved and flexed to 4:25 p.m. And for those of you who do listen to this show, you did hear me report last week that people I was talking to in the league office said that the NFL did inform Miami and the Bills to be ready, because odds are their game was going to get flexed to prime time. So this Sunday, Miami is playing the Bills at 4:25 on CBS. No word on who the announcers are yet. Once we have that information, I will pass it along. And this game means the world to the Buffalo Bills. They haven't been to the playoffs since the late 90s. It's been forever. They're dying to get back to the playoffs. And they need to win this game to have a shot. Now, for them, I think they have to win and get a little bit of help. But they have to win this game. And for the Miami Dolphins, they would love nothing more than to play spoiler and knock the Buffalo Bills out of the playoffs this year. So for Miami, that will be the motivation. If they happen to lose Miami, they could actually sneak up into the top 10 of the draft. And we'll talk about that later at the end of the show. But so this game has all the meaning in the world to the Bills. And that's why this game was flexed, because it is one of the most important games this week on the NFL slate. Not because of the Dolphins, but because of the Buffalo Bills. So a couple things I want to talk about that I didn't actually talk about on the post-game wrap-up show Sunday night. First and foremost, Miami Dolphins undrafted rookie Torrey McTyer. He was actually on the field this past Sunday for 61 of 83 defensive snaps. And I actually want to give that number credit to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, as he actually reported that. He was on the field for 61 of 83 defensive snaps. The main reason was because Alteron Verner, he only played 9 snaps, and then he got hurt, and he could not return. So, pressed into action, Miami put McTyer on the field, and I thought he did really, really well. McTyer is someone who had a great training camp and a great preseason this past summer. Obviously, being an undrafted rookie, trying to get on the field is tough, especially in Miami when you have guys like Tankersley. You had Maxwell was on the team at the time. You had Howard, McCain. For him to sort of crack into that group was pretty much impossible. Now, Maxwell's gone. Tankersley's hurt. Verner goes down. And when he got his opportunity, he played well, I thought. And McTyer is someone to keep an eye on this offseason a little bit. Not really this offseason. I would say heading into 2018. Because he's someone who if he continues to improve, I could see him clearly being on the field more next year. Honestly, if he plays like he did this past Sunday, he is someone who will take over the job of Alteron Verner. He is not that good anymore. Verner's a little bit old and a little bit slow. And just because Miami was so young at that position, you have to remember, back in August, Miami had someone like Howard, who was a second-year player, and he didn't play much at all last year. You have Tankersley's a rookie, and you have Bobby McCain, who is not that old as well. So Miami had a lot of youth at the cornerback position, so it made sense to bring in a vet just to sort of right the ship. But what we've seen this year from this group is ready for prime time. Howard is quickly turning into one of the top cornerbacks in this league. So there's and then you have Tankersley and McCain, who are young players who have played very well. So they don't need that sort of vet right now at this point, and they won't next year in 2018. So someone like Torrey McTyer, hopefully he will move up the roster and get more playing time next year. And I think I like him as a player, and I think there's a lot of promise there with him. Let's see what else we got. Oh, the story we did talk about on the post-game wrap-up show was the screaming match on the sideline between Jarvis Landry and Adam Gase. We do have more information on that now. We have more information on it, but it's sort of conflicting information. But I think overall the sense is that it was a little bit overblown right after the game, and there's really nothing to see here. First, let's talk about the side of Jarvis Landry. When he spoke to the media, he said, "I wasn't yelling at Adam. I wasn't talking to Adam." And he said, and here's another quote pretty much saying he wouldn't throw his head coach under the bus. No, he wouldn't show up his head coach on the sideline. So if you talk to Landry, he was yelling and screaming, but it wasn't towards Adam Gase. Okay. The problem is, when they asked Adam Gase about it, he said the opposite. He goes, "It's just part of the game. It just happens. It's not the first time. You guys just noticed this one." Meaning he acknowledged him and Landry were screaming at each other. Now, honestly, I don't see it as a huge deal. I think Landry, by him saying, "I wasn't yelling at Adam. I wasn't talking to Adam. I never showed my head coach," he's taking the right approach of like, this is something that sort of happened in-house, even though it was on the field and it was seen by the world. It's an in-house matter, and I'm not going to air that to the media. So I think in Landry's case, that's wise. That's a smart way to take this. And I think with Gase, he's just saying part of the game, not a big deal, moving on type of deal, which again is probably a smart way to handle this. And as I did talk about on Sunday night, you have to remember, back in the summer, Adam Gase did say this team has three hotheads: himself, Landry, and Jay Ajayi. Clearly, Adam Gase and Jay Ajayi were two hotheads who could not live on the same team. So Jay Ajayi was sent elsewhere. I don't think that will be the case with Landry. I don't think that will be the case with Landry at all. As we saw the report, I think, 2 weeks ago from Armando Salguero, the Miami Dolphins want to hold on to Landry and want him to be part of the long-term plans. So hopefully this isn't something that maybe rubbed Adam Gase the wrong way that would change his mind on that. I don't think it is. And I think at the end of the day, Miami will retain Landry, sign him to a long-term deal, or if they have to use the franchise tag on him to buy themselves some time. But I think what happened Sunday was just heat-of-the-moment type of deal. End of the game, end of the year. It's been a long year. It's been a frustrating year. And I think just some emotions got the best of a couple guys here, and I don't think it's a big deal. With that said, and I will I'm just throwing it out there. I don't think it is the case, but I'm just throwing it out there. If for some reason Miami can't come to terms with Landry and they don't use the franchise tag on him, there is the possibility that this Sunday's game would be Jarvis Landry's last game as a member of the Miami Dolphins. Again, I don't think it will be the case, but it is a possibility because I know a lot of us fans, myself included, love to watch Jarvis Landry play. The last thing we want to see is him in another uniform, but we do have to remember it is a possibility in this league. We've seen stranger things have happened. I don't think it'll be the case, but just something to keep in mind as you watch this Sunday's game against the Buffalo Bills. A couple more things I want to touch on. One thing, as this season starts to wind down and we head into the final game of the year, I think back to the start of the season and all the chaos that happened back in late August and early September, and everything with Ryan Tannehill, Lawrence Timmons, Hurricane Irma, all that stuff, the offensive line coach, all the drama that happened at the start of the year. And I look back at this now as this season winds down and Miami is out of the playoffs. Which one of those things, if any of them, really had an effect on this team this year, 2017? Let's start with sort of the first one. The first one would be the injury to Ryan Tannehill. Huge effect. He could not be replaced. Obviously, that meant a lot to the Miami Dolphins this year. That was a huge effect. So that one was a huge effect. Let's talk about the offensive line coach. I don't think that was... it meant something because the offensive line was a mess when this happened. And after the offensive line coach was sent away, clearly, the offensive line was still in shambles. And it took a bunch of weeks, probably till... And that happened the first week of October, after the Titans game. It took till pretty much mid to late November for the offensive line to sort of right the ship. So that one had an effect. Not quite the size of an effect of the injury to Ryan Tannehill, but they had a big effect. The Lawrence, when Lawrence went AWOL, our linebacker there, Lawrence Timmons went AWOL, that at the start of the year, they actually had a larger effect in the short term because you have to remember, yes, Miami beat the Chargers, but the games against the Jets and the Saints, the linebacker play was... No, he actually played against the Saints. The one game against the Jets, the linebacker play was absolutely brutal. It was absolutely brutal, and Miami was not prepared. They were forced to start Mike Hull or have him on the field way too much. So that one had a big effect. But the one thing everybody talked about, and I guess... Here's my point. It's just a long way getting to it. The one thing everybody was talking about was the, because of Hurricane Irma, the Miami Dolphins, they could not play week one, and they didn't have an off week this year, no bye week. And I remember when this first happened, I mean, fans were up in arms, players were mad about it. They were online, social media complaining, how can we not have a bye week? No bye week, are you kidding me? Blah, 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 blah. And I got to say, at the end of the day, now that this season is over, not having a week off, I don't really think affected this team at all. I think out of all the stuff that happened with this team, not having a bye week really was not a huge deal. There wasn't a game this year where I thought the Miami Dolphins lost because they looked super slow or super tired. They lost because they just they couldn't make a pass. They couldn't block anybody. They couldn't wrap anybody up for a tackle. Stuff like that. I never saw a game where it's like they lost because, God, if they had a week off, like, you know, in one of these weeks, they'd be fine. I really never saw that. So that was something that we talked about a lot in the show back in September, for those of you who are longtime listeners to this show. And now that we look back on this, it's just no bye week, I don't think, played a huge factor with this team. Something that did play a huge factor, I think, especially in September, was the travel Miami had to do back in September. Because you have to remember, they went from Miami to Los Angeles, and they were out there for like a week or two to get ready for the Chargers game. Then they went to New York to play the Jets. Then they went back to Miami. Then they went to London. And then back to Miami. And I think the stat was, and I might not have it totally right, so I think the stat was they traveled more in the month of September than some teams traveled all year. To me, that had more of an effect on this team than not having a week off. Because I think once this team got to mid-October, late October, November, not having a week off really wasn't a huge deal. Clearly, I'm not on the team, and I'm not one of the players. They would be able to talk about that more than me. But just from an outsider's point of view, I don't think that was the big thing that it was made out to be in September. So last thing I'm going to talk about on the show today was, as of today, and this changed actually since the post-game wrap-up show I did on Sunday. As of today, the Miami Dolphins are currently drafting 11th in the NFL draft with one game to play. So if the Dolphins, if they win this week, there's a very good chance they will crack the top 10. With a loss, they might actually fall down a couple spots. But right now, they're picking 11th. And let's talk about the top. And look, I hate talking about the draft when they're, I hate talking about the draft this far out. But because before free agency happens, you don't know what your needs are heading into the draft. So I do hate talking about it, but let's just do it from a big picture point of view. A big picture point of view. Talk about this right now as the season's almost over. As the season's almost over, Miami will be picking, let's say, either 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere in that neighborhood, top 10 or just outside the top 10. The three needs, and I know some of these are going to be filled in free agency, the three needs on this team, and it's not even close. There's the top three needs, and then there's pretty much everything else. The top three needs, in no special order. So no special order. Linebacker, tight end, offensive line. And everything else is, yes, they might need one more pass rusher. Yes, they might need another running back. Yes, they need a number two quarterback. We get that. But without linebacker, tight end, and offensive line being addressed heavily this offseason, next year, 1 year from today, Miami will be in the same position looking where they will be outside of the NFL playoffs looking in. So, as we enter the draft, offensively, obviously tight end and offensive line are a huge deal. I think with tight end, it's probably it's the larger need than offensive line. But if they do not change their tight end position and get more players there who can actually play in this league, because Thomas, he's shot. Pisano, he's very one dimensional. It's just a blocker now. Miami needs some guys at tight end who can get downfield, make a play. You look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs have three tight ends. They have three tight ends. Obviously, one of them's an all-world superstar tight end and Travis. So he's like all-world tight end. But they're two tight ends behind him. They would start in Miami. Miami would probably cut off their left arm to get either one of those guys right now. Miami has no tight ends. A team like the Chiefs has three. Okay? So Miami needs to get more from the tight end position. They need guys who can run down the field and make plays, guys who can block, and guys who are younger and more athletic. Clearly, we know that. Offensive line. We know the offensive line. Aside from Laremy Tunsil and probably Jesse Davis, who's either going to probably start next year at right guard or right tackle. I'm not in love with that idea, but he's probably played well enough this final month to maybe earn that. Aside from those two players, you can scrap the rest of Miami's offensive line in my book. If you want to get rid of Larson, go for it. You want to get rid of Mike Pouncey, sign me up for that. You want to let Juwan James walk, I'm okay with that. Miami's offensive line needs a total rebuild and a total it just needs to be totally rebuilt. And I know the Dolphins don't like to spend money on offensive guards. That mindset also has to change because they cannot keep doing what they're doing. And let's just sign one old vet and then we'll take a bunch of kids like in the draft and hope one of them pans out. Those days are over too because that does not work. On the other side of the ball, linebacker, as I said in the postgame wrap-up show, outside of Kiko Alonso, you can probably get rid of every linebacker on this team. You want to keep Stephon Anthony as a fourth linebacker, I'm fine with that. But next year, I do not want to see Chase Allen, Mike Hull, or Lawrence Timmons on this roster. They just don't have it, and I don't want to see him on this team because I think they add nothing. So, linebacker is a need first and foremost. Clearly, they do get back Raekwon McMillan, so that will help there. Hopefully, he's 100%, and the knee won't hamper him as he moves forward in his NFL lifespan here. But that's something to watch. But something else I want to touch on real quick, and then I'll wrap this show up, was that if Miami in round one, if a pass rusher fell to them, and I know they just took Charles Harris last year, and I know they just gave a big, and they paid Andre Branch a lot of money. If a pass rusher fell to them, I would have no problem at all with Miami taking another pass rusher in round one. That is one position where you cannot have enough guys and enough quality guys. So we'll talk about the draft in this offseason. I'm not going to get into it today, clearly, because there's still one game to play. But we know the spots Miami has to address this offseason. Tight end, offensive line, linebacker, and by all means, a pass rusher. You can never have enough of them. And that is something. Those are the four spots Miami should be keyed in on. We're not going to talk about the quarterback position. In time, we'll talk about it. I'm sure I'll do many shows on the quarterback position and what Miami has to do there. Should they take one in the draft, round one or two? Again, I'll do shows on that this offseason. We got February, March, and most of April to talk about stuff like that. And if you're in that, if you fall into that where you think Miami should take one, I'm not even saying you're wrong. And in fact, I might even agree with you, but I'm just putting that aside right now because that's a whole other ball of wax that changes everything. And we will talk about that as we move forward. But just about the position players outside of quarterback, the three glaring needs, linebacker, tight end, offensive line, pass rusher you take, and everything else Miami needs you can find after that. Running back, they have to get one. They'll find somebody. Wide receivers, they might need one more. Whatever, not a huge deal. Not going to waste a high pick on one, honestly. So that's just something that crossed my mind because now we know where Miami's roughly will be picking in the draft. If they lose this week, they'll probably be inside the top 10. If they win, They could be anywhere from 11, 12, 13, most likely in that range, that little ballpark. So we'll start to look towards the draft a little bit and talk about things there. Also, one last thing. I lied. I got one last thing. It looks like the Miami Dolphins are now locked in to third place inside the AFC East, which means the two outstanding games next year on their schedule look to be at Cincinnati. So Miami will travel to Cincinnati. And let me just check one thing to make sure I'm right on the other one real quick. At Cincinnati and home against the Raiders. So next year, Miami will be at Cincinnati and home against the Raiders on top of all of the other games. Next year they do play the NFC North. And they play the AFC South. So the NFC North, AFC South, at Cincinnati, home against the Raiders. That is the Miami Dolphins schedule. And once that is locked in 100%, we'll talk about that as well probably next week. So I would like to thank you all once again for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.